privilege to have Brett Ryan here tonight, the CEO of Focus on the Family for Australia. And just catching up with Brett a little bit at the very before the service, he's been a pastor for, 16 years, you said? 13 years? And he's got three boys in their 20s. He's done the yards, and now he's been CEO of Focus on the Family for how many years now? For 5 years, and Brett, he'll tell us a little more of his story. And I have a feeling before Brett's done this evening, we're gonna wish we'd had him here all weekend. And so he and I have already been talking about that because there's so much that he could bring to the table for this community, and we want to take advantage of the gifts that God has given the body. So. But we have him here tonight for the next 30, 40 minutes. And so will you do him some honor and welcome him today as he comes to the front and share.
Thank you very much. Well, you may be seated. I've flown up from Melbourne to do this. Yeah. Don't you just get bored of this beautiful weather, you know? So boring, you know, blue sky, sunshine. Goodness me. We have in Melbourne a variety of weather. But I just wake up and there's blue sky. People were saying it was cold this morning. It was just lovely. It was just beautiful. But yeah, I've flown up just for this weekend. So I arrived yesterday and I spoke at Life Point Baptist Church this morning, and then I've hung around all afternoon to come and speak to you lot. And we may be smaller in number, but I don't care because I love speaking to people about families. I'm completely biased. And you might be saying, well, I'm not married. Well, there's going to be something for you. Maybe you don't have kids. There's going to be something for you. If you may have had family and they've gone and left the nest, there's going to be something for you. There's going to be something for everyone, hopefully today, that you will go home encouraged, empowered, motivated, and maybe even a little bit convicted in some areas. But hopefully by the end of it, you'll go home feeling a little bit better about yourself and how you could do families as the way that God had intended. I'm actually doing a tour at the moment with Vision Christian Radio. I do some stuff with Salt FM as well. I'm on a Wednesday, every Wednesday in the morning, and I do a little discussion about something to do with families. There's never a shortage of ideas and topics you can talk about families, because a lot of people say, well, you know, is it all just about marriages and parenting? Well, there's a whole variety of different things. When you say families, where do you start and where do you stop? Blended families, single parent families, you know, the issues related to families and relationships. There's a whole variety of different things. And so I feel really privileged being able to talk about as many issues that relate to families to be the very best they could possibly can. And this Vision of Christian Radio tour that I'm doing, I contacted them because it's our 25th anniversary of being at Focus on the Family in Australia. So I contacted them. I said, hey, I was wondering if you could like to partner with us because I want to do a tour around Australia, maybe 10 to 15 different places. They said, yes, that's a great idea. We'll organize it for you. I said, great, saves me having to do it. And so I said 10 to 15. They didn't quite hear that. And so I've got 35 different places that I'm going across Australia. And so I've been to all sorts of different places. And I've been to a place called Miles. That's a fair way away. And Kingaroy. And I went to, a couple of weeks ago, I was up in Cairns, but someone from Townsville said, it's only 4 hours drive, come to us. And so that added another little tour. And I don't like driving, but I've done a lot of miles and things like that. And I went to Perth, and a little person said, oh, you're coming to Perth, just come to Geraldton. Do you know where Geraldton is? That's a long way. And so I got up there, and then someone said, oh, we're in Albany or Albany, whichever way you want to pronounce it, and then Bunbury and then Margaret River, and then I'm going to be doing South Australia. There's a variety of places, and so I can't go to every place, but wherever I've been, it's been a privilege being able to talk to people and look them in the eye, because on the radio, you don't get that opportunity. But I do know our voice gets heard in so many different places. And I'm very humbled to be on the radio. In fact, when I was about 14 years of age, I wanted to be a DJ on a radio station. I used to record myself, hi, this is Brett Ryan on 3XY, I got some songs for you. But I don't play music, but I play hopefully helpful advice right where people are, whether in their cars or in their kitchen or wherever they may be on a podcast. And it's just really humbling to be heard in so many different places. In fact, our reach, we're in about 750 radio stations across Australia, which turns out that we've got about 4 million people hear us every month. And that doesn't include kids. And a lot of kids listen to us, because I had a 14-year-old boy come up to me and says, tap me on the shoulder, he goes, you're Brett Ryan, aren't you? I said, yes. My mum makes me listen to you every day. And then he walked off. He wasn't a fan, obviously. But Ben, I remember I was at another conference and I was speaking at, and this woman came up to me and I introduced myself. Hi, I'm Brett Ryan. I'm from Focus on the Family. And she goes, no, you're not. Who am I? Well, you're not Brett Ryan from Focus on the Family, that's for sure. And I said, close your eyes. And she closed her eyes. And I said, this is Brett Ryan, the CEO of Focus on the Family in Australia. And she goes, you are him. Because have you ever read a book and then they make it into a movie and it's not quite right? I wasn't quite right. I think she expected someone who's old and mature and, you know. But anyway, that's another story. But as I said, it's very humbling and you're not too sure who might be listening at the right time. And I remember a man came up to me when I was in Perth and he goes, you saved my marriage. And I said, tell me more. And he goes, I was leaving my wife. I had my bags packed. I was hopping into the car and you came on the radio saying you had to fight for your marriage. And it's going to be hard work, but it's worth the fight. He was so convicted, he got out of the car, grabbed his bags, walked into his wife and said, I'm not leaving. Yeah. 12 months later, after some counselling, they renewed their wedding vows, and he was so challenged by it, he's now become a counsellor to help other people. Wow. And so I thought, just that little voice, the right time is the right season, and it saved a marriage. And I tell you what, it makes me just... It moves me every time I hear that. It's like, have you ever gone fish? I'm not a fisherman, but I've heard people fish. And they catch one fish and it keeps them going for a little bit longer. That's like fishing for me. It just, you're never too sure who might be listening and it might save that marriage or restore a family. In fact, I spoke at another function just recently and it was a blended family and they were very dysfunctional. And they came, they don't know why they came, but they drove over about an hour and a half just to come and listen to me, you know. I hope they weren't too disappointed. But at the end of it, I had to actually prayed for them. And then 48 hours later, I get an email from the woman. She says, a miracle after miracle after miracle has occurred. Our whole family is united. Everyone's forgiven each other. And you are part of that catalyst. Focus on the Family is part of that catalyst. And I thought, that is just awesome. And so I love doing what I do. And in fact, I've had three professions. I started as a critical care nurse. I majored in intensive care and accident emergency. So for me to have a really good day, someone had to have a really bad day. I love the blood and the guts and all that type of stuff. You know, I love that type of thing. But it's such a privilege being able to look after people at their most vulnerable and be able to support their families going through that. And I did that for 15 years. And then out of left field, I was invited to become the children's and family pastor at my church for the next 13 years. And it was a very large church where I don't say the numbers to say, hey, look at me. But I had the children's ministry was 300 kids. And then after the 13 years, there are 1,000 kids. And we're overseeing three campuses and multiple services. And I love that, partnering with parents to build a spiritual foundation that will hopefully last a lifetime. Yeah. And then I took on the role at Focus on the Family. So I've helped people physically and then spiritually and now relationally. But nothing is ever wasted because the issues that people have faced, I've actually had a lot to do with. And obviously radio is one area that we deal with, but I've started a YouTube channel because I've got a face for radio, now I've got a face for YouTube. And so there's different ways that you can like us on Facebook and you can, you know, just, because it's something that you could actually give a tip. And a lot of the things that I create last for 1 minute. I've got programs that last for 25 minutes, but the 1 minute slots are ones that people, because people's attention span is so short now, and they don't want to read a book or an article, but they can read 1 minute. And so a lot of things last for a minute, and so it's a lot of things that can be shared on social media or on YouTube, whatever you like to do, and it might just be the right thing for your friend or your family that they're going through that particular issue. And one of the things that we do is actually write a weekly tip. And so if you'd like to have a weekly tip that will arrive in your inbox once a week, and there's one that lasts every, you know, you can get one month on a month basis, but there's a tip and it will take you a minute to read, but it's something that has been proven to be very, very welcome into people's homes. So if you'd like to receive that, I've got permission just to put your name and email address, and if you there's no moral obligation to do that, but I'll notice that if you don't sign your name, I'll take note of that. So only joking, yeah. if you wanted to just your name, make it legible so I can actually put it onto our on our database, and then you'll be receiving that in the next week by the time I get back home. But another thing that we do is that we provide resources, and I've actually just released a new resource, and you're probably the first church that I've actually announced this to 2 weeks ago, is that I did a program about how to talk about suicide and have a narrative or a confidence in talking about grief, depression, and suicide. And so it's an online tool, all for free. It's been made available from people who have generously given towards Focus. And so I've launched that. It's been downloaded already about 650 times already. It's quite extraordinary. Just and because we haven't advertised, and I'd love to see it getting more and more people. And it might be somewhere that you know that someone's going through that, because unfortunately today, 7 to 8 people will be successful in taking their own life through suicide, thinking that's a viable option. And so I think we, as the body of Christ, and your family members and your friends, we need to be more confident in talking about those issues. And I'm speaking about issues, and I also had just launched at the beginning of May this year, I launched a whole resource about how to talk to your kids about sex. And so that's been also very popular. It's also got, there's a number of different things, how to get your kids to do the chores. That's been very, very popular. But this is an issue that we want to be able to provide as many resources as possible and be right where people are at. And it's, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity to, because we know that there is a better way. And God's given us a better way of doing that. But we also provide things that are also Christian and... because our audience is also a lot of unchurched people. About 40% of our listeners on radio are unchurched. It's a great opportunity that people might be at the right time hearing something that's about God. Because I see our role as be a conduit between the church and the community. And if we can do that, talking about families, I love doing parenting seminars, talking to youth and young adults about sex and sexuality, talking about mental health, or talking about marriage and just how that we'd like to do those things a little bit better. So that's a little bit about what Focus on the Family does. And but my greatest family and ministry is my own boys. I've been married for 28 years to the same woman. And we have got 3 young men. And that photo was taken 20 years ago. And they've grown up since then. So I've got a 24-year-old, a 22-year-old, and a 20-year-old. But last year, I turned 50. And I love the idea of turning 50. I don't know why. Just a milestone, I guess. But I think I use a good moisturizer. If you're looking at me, how surely he can have that children. I use a very good moisturizer. And I was a kids pastor for a long time, so it made me young. But my boys wanted to give me a special gift. And I'm not very materialistic. I don't want for very much. And they put their heads together and they did a 7-month project. Complete surprise for me. And this project is they reenacted and filmed and played every role and sang every song to one of my favorite movies. Oh, wow. And that's the Three Amigos. Oh, yeah. So here is the picture of the Three Amigos. They got green screen, the whole thing. They learned how to do it. Hundreds and hundreds of hours of video editing. I've never cried so much and laughed at the same time. I was exhausted just from the crying. I've seen it 4 times already. And each time it really moves me. And it was just a fantastic thing. And they can't sing a note, but they just sang so beautifully. And so... And my eldest son got married 5 months ago to a beautiful young lady. So we've had one fly the nest, and it's been a little bit difficult. We've grieved the loss of our son. But I have to say that I claim full responsibility for their marriage. Because when I started a new campus for my church, there was a young... I had no leaders. And so I had to... I knew I had control of the kids. So I trained my kids to become leaders. I spent a lot of time dedicated to mentoring young leaders. And there was a young lady at the age of about 13, 14, 15 that I spent a lot of time with, a number of people. But at the age of 15, this young girl stood out. And my son was 12 at the time. And I said to her mother, I said, "Do you believe in arranged marriages?" And she said, "If it's one of your sons, yes." So fast forward 11 years... they met and fell in love with each other last year, because it was a different campus, so they didn't know each other. And they met and fell in love and got married. And here is the happy... it's a bit dark, but she's beautiful on the outside and on the inside. And it's just wonderful. So I claim full responsibility. So I've got 2 other sons that are available. So if you'd like to send your CVs and resumes, I'm prepared to actually see that. But as I said to you before, is that... you know, in our society today, there is something about families that we're not doing so well. We're not doing well, not as well as it could be. But it's interesting, from my point of view, the three greatest things that are important in our lives is, one is our relationship growing with God, two, how to do relationships well, and three, how to do families well. But this is where the major issues, I was talking to you, Pastor, before, I feel like one of the biggest issues is just apathy, people not making the effort to learn how to be a better husband or a wife, a better mother or a father, or be just a better parent, and all those type of things. And yet, you know, like if you learn how to drive a car, you have driving lessons. If you want to learn how to swing a golf club better, you go and have golf lessons. If you want to get better at your job, you go and have professional development, you know, those type of things. But yet these are the things, the issues that we don't put in the effort to actually create an opportunity to learn how to be better at what we have. So I thought, before we get started, I'm going to ask for God to help me, and then we'll get started, all right? Father God, I just thank you so much for this opportunity. I pray a blessing upon my words as I share this with this group of people. And I pray, Lord, that it will challenge us, all of us, to live a life that you want us to live and have healthy families and close-knit families. And I pray that we will be all that you want us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Because Focus on the Family is all about strengthening Australian families and relationships. And we do that with those variety of things. But the Bible's full of wisdom on how to do families. But there's also, so if you want to do a leadership seminar, you actually go and look at, you know, some principles of leadership. Moses and Samuel, or, you know, the whole Nehemiah, Paul, you know, David. There's all these great examples of how to be a great leader. But then you go and look for how to be a great husband or a great wife or a great parent. There are none. In fact, the Bible's full of dysfunctional aspects of family. So I thought, well, I thought I'd look at the dysfunctional families in the Bible, all right, just to get us a little bit started. And these are the dysfunctional families of the Bible, and we'll go through them all. All right, so the first one is, let's go for Adam and Eve, you know, the first family. You know, there was, you know, the Eve manipulated Adam, and then it started all sorts of other problems. And then we see the sons, you know, that's real sibling rivalry. You know, the first known homicide, that's real serious thing. It's not good to throw rocks at someone else's head. That's not good. And then we actually see Abraham. You know, this is the man who is going to be the generations and generations that were going to come from his seed. But he was married to an old woman. So he couldn't wait any longer, so he put things into his own hands, and then he got his maidservant pregnant, and that was a happy blended family right there, wasn't it? Just exact, you know, not great. And then we see his son, Isaac, and he had twins, and those twins had a bit of fighting, but then his wife had a favoritism. You know, that's not good, mums and dads, not to show favorites. I saw a t-shirt, I was actually at the plaza around, and I saw a t-shirt, "I'm my mum's favorite son," and I thought I should get it for my mum to give to me. But I decided not to. But you know, and then we see how then he lied to his brother or deceived his brother, and then his brother wanted to kill him again. Killing's not good. And then he went and found the girl of his dreams by his uncle, and then he tricked him to marry the ugly sister before he got the beautiful wife. You know, like, imagine the family mealtimes there. "You're beautiful. You're ugly." You know, it's not really good for family dynamics. Again, very dysfunctional. Then we actually see Jacob. You know, he didn't learn from about showing favorites. And then he got really busy. He had 12 sons, and they were all over the place. And those other brothers loved Joseph so much. They loved that he didn't have to do the same amount of work. They loved the idea that he had different clothes. They loved him so much, they sold him into slavery. And then they lied to their dad, and lying's not good. You know, it's not good. And then deceived, and then he was in, you know, again, this is dysfunctional families. And then David, a man after God's own heart. He looked where he shouldn't have been looking, and I'm a kids pastor, so I'm G-rated, and I won't go into detail, but I can guarantee he didn't just look. He did other things, and resulting in a lady getting pregnant, and then he caused an assassination of, you know, this is not good. This is a man after God's own heart. And then he had a son, Solomon, and he was, you know, he was the smartest man in the world. He had 300 wives plus concubines. Enough said. All right, enough said. And then this is going to, I'm just going to confess to you, all right? I've lost my kids in a shopping center, all right? But I knew straight away. Then we go to Jesus' family. Mary goes up to Joseph. Joseph, have you seen Jesus? He goes, no, I haven't seen him for a couple of days. I thought you knew who he was. Oh, I haven't seen him for a couple of days. It took 3 days before they realized that Jesus was missing. Does anyone feel a little bit better about their functional or dysfunctional families? Even in the Bible, it has these type of things in the Bible. But one of the things that we find, if we fast forward to the 21st century, we see different issues, drugs and alcohol. And again, I actually think God has an incredible way of nothing is ever wasted. Because I've seen firsthand people coming to the emergency department with drugs and alcohol, and I can speak into that space. And I've seen the firsthand of what mental health can do, and I can speak into that space. And then there's other areas about in my pastor, and I can see families and how divided they can be. So nothing is ever wasted that I've been able to utilize. But all this in the 21st century, all these issues that we have. In fact, it's interesting about the number of issues, especially in the area of sexuality, that's causing so much dysfunction and in families and causing divorce and separation. And there is a better way. There's a better way. So I would like to actually unpack, just for a few moments, and it's by no means exhaustive, but it's amazing the things that are so simple yet we don't do. And this is just a little bit of an expansion, not on all the dysfunctional aspects of the family, but some functional aspects that you could apply into your world today, tomorrow, during the week, next month. And I can guarantee if you put these 5 things in place, and it's by no means exhaustive, as I said, I can guarantee you it will improve the health and well-being of your families. So here are tips to a close-knit family, all right? So buckle up. I speak pretty quickly, but hopefully by the end of it, you'll get in the... So this is the secrets to the close-knit family. And as I said, they're not real secrets, but they're just little things that will really help. The first one is simply to appreciate one another. It's amazing how much you can take the people who are close to you for granted. When was the last time you thanked your spouse for just who they are, not for what they do, just to thank them? When was the last time you thanked your kids for just being your kids? And if you've got parents, when was the last time you thanked your parents for keeping you alive? Because it's touch and go every now and then. I remember when my boys were little, I rang up my wife and said, I'm coming home. She says, if you're not home in 20 minutes, which one do you want to keep? Because the other two are going out on the nature strip. I said, well, which one's the better behave? It doesn't matter. Which one do you want? We need to show appreciation. We need to show value. And it's simply just thanking people. And one of the things that we can do, and even the scriptures say this, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. Just encourage. It's amazing when some people show appreciation, how much it makes you feel better. When was the last time you thanked your pastors just for doing what they do? Not for all the things, I mean, because it can be a very thankless task. We need to show appreciation to those that are close to us. And sometimes people who are the closest don't get the best out of us. So simply that, just showing appreciation, value, concern, consideration is a way of showing appreciation to that person. And if we did that a little bit better, could you imagine our homes? Could you imagine our relationships? You avoid, if you have to be intentional, and that's the thing. So we at Focus, we have 3 I's, being informed, being intentional, and being involved. Being informed, you're getting information now. Being involved is actually understanding how that person, that relationship is ticks. But being intentional, you have to put in the effort that's required. Throughout the scripture, it always talks about live in peace, make every effort to live in peace. It takes work on our part. So that's the first one, just showing appreciation. The second one is, and again, it may be very simple, is spending time together. The languages of love, you might have heard Gary Chapman, 5 languages of love, you know, it's time and words of affirmation, which we've sort of done, and, you know, touch, gifts, and service. They're the things. But for a kid, their greatest language of love is spelt T-I-M-E. You can't just say, okay, I've got 10 minutes, go, now, quick, tell me. No, it's not about quality, it's also about quantity. The length of time that we spend with one another, enjoying each other's company. In the scriptures, And this is as a kids pastor. This is my favorite parenting on spiritual foundations from Deuteronomy 6. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And then it says, and impress them upon your children. And this is going to take time. When you get up in the morning, when you're walking along the road, fast forward to the 21st century, when you're driving them to kids, their school or their, you know, music lessons or swimming lessons or sporting things, there's plenty of time to spend with your kids. But even when having date nights with your spouse, it's amazing how busy life can get, but just spending time. We have couch time. You know, like when our kids were younger, we want to make sure that we were a family before the kids and they got included into it. We didn't say they become the center of the universe. So we have to spend time with those that were around us. Our kids, our spouse need us. And that's a really important thing. And the thing when you are spending time is also to have some fun. I think that's the reason why I showed that picture of the three amigos, because we have fun. I was a nurse, as I said, and I used humor quite often when I was talking to a patient. One is because it actually is a good medicine. Even the scriptures talk about this. A cheerful heart is a good medicine. Making people feel alive is a good start, especially when they are really sick. But, you know, I would use humor because it lowers heart rate, it lowers blood pressure, increases immunity, you feel better about yourself, it releases endorphins and serotonin and all these good feel-good hormones and things like that. But it actually makes you, it creates great memories. We do things like that in our household. And when we have our dinner time, and I'm so looking forward to tomorrow night because I'm flying back tomorrow, and my daughter-in-law is invited our whole family over for dinner, which is just, we're really looking forward to it. But we'll have some fun together. But when my mother and my mother-in-law come over to our house, they take out their hearing aids because it's so noisy. It's like a tennis match. They go like this, you know. Just having fun and laughter, creating memories. Those type of things should never take for granted. And you have to do it only if you put the time and effort in. People say, well, I'm so busy. You know, I've got so much to do. You know, we all have the same amount of time. It's about prioritizing your time. Your kids are only going to be so young for so long. The days may be really slow, but the years are really quick. And I remember when my kids were 6, 4, and 2, and a lady came up to me and she said, make the most of every opportunity, Brett. They're going to grow up so fast. I said, they're 6, 4, and 2. And then within a moment, one's got married. I'm thinking, where did that time go? We need to spend time together and having fun and creating great memories, because that's what you want your kids to have. Because you know what they're going to do? They're watching, observing how you are parenting, how you do relationships. They're watching as grandparents. They're watching you, how you do life. They're watching, and they're going to replicate. What type of role modeling are you giving to your kids? And they're going to create those same memories for them. I mean, I've been fortunate. I've taken my boys to America because I had to go there for a tour for work. And then I've also been to Europe. And I've taken them both times. And I said to them, which been your favorite holiday destination? And I was thinking, what are they going to say? You know, all the exciting things that we did. And they said, Phillip Island. And if you've ever been to Phillip Island is just in the south of Victoria. I could have saved a whole lot of money. And I said to them, why Phillip Island? And they said, because it was a table tennis table. I said, I could have bought a table tennis table. I could have saved some money. And they said, what else? And they said, we had ice cream every night, which is good. And then we just spent time together. It was our tradition. Those little things can make all the difference. Simple things, but it can make a big difference. The third area, and it may seem again very obvious, is the ability to communicate. Just communicating with one another. You can't say, I love you at the altar and then never repeat it and saying, well, I saw it then and, you know, I won't, if it changes, I'll let you know. You got to tell it every day. And I remember hearing a 7-year-old who was asked defining love, and he says, well, you know, it's not so much defining love, it's saying when you say you love them, you got to say it like you really mean it. There's a 7-year-old saying that, and I'm thinking, how cool is that? We need to say it so much more and showing that we really care for them. See, our words have got so much power. The scriptures talk about the power of the tongue. You know, it can be likened to a spark that starts a forest fire. It can be likened to a bridle in a horse to be able to turn it around. It's likened to a rudder that can actually turn a big ship. It is so much power. and it can do so much damage. It actually, in the scriptures, it says to able to, you can praise God, but yet curse at the same time. Our words have meaning, and the way that we communicate, watching our tone, watching our volume, learning to respond, not react. Because once you've said it, you can't take it back. And we need to know, as I said before, we need to encourage, and we can encourage with our words, but we're also knowing that when we communicate with one another, it's with genuine concern for them. I want to communicate to you. I want to tell you what's going on in my world. In fact, we have to also be aware that whenever there are two or more people in a room together, is that there is always going to be conflict, misunderstanding, and miscommunication. It's just inevitable. But how we resolve conflict is the best thing. It's how, you know, it's not so much avoiding conflict, because it's impossible. I remember my wife and I were having some intense fellowship, and I remember coming home, and I said, we're going to have to put our game face on, you know, Kate. And she goes, okay. We all went in the house, you know, smiles. And I said, what's happening, Lachlan? He goes, what's happened? What's happened to you two? And then he looks at me. What did you do, Dad? Like, it was my fault. Why was it my fault? And he goes, what you need to do, you need to go out on a date and sort it out. But before you go, sort it out now. I said, what? He goes, no, when I get married, I might deal with this same issue, and I need to know how you did it. So we need to resolve the issues. And I said, you're on your own, mate. You can work it out yourself. But I do think it's really important. If you're going to have conflict in front of the kids, you need to resolve conflict in front of the kids. It's really important to role model those type of things. And I'll elaborate a little bit more. But the best listening, best communication tool are our ears. The scriptures say to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We need to be able to listen to one another, learning to be attentive. And that's a big thing, because what often we're actually, when we're communicating with someone, we're actually waiting for them to stop moving their lips, and I'm going to interject. That's not listening. That's actually just, you're hearing, but you're not listening. And we need to learn how. So I'm going to give you a little quick thing how to do this. All right, I want everyone to do this. I'm not seeing you do it. No, I'm just making sure. Okay. And now you're not doing it. I'm waiting. No, I'm waiting. All right. You're probably one of those people who just wants to do that. If you do, and then I want you to nod. And then just do a Now you look really intelligent, but you're also learning to listen. And that alone, I learned that from a group of grade sixes who learned it from their prep teacher when they were six. And I thought that was fascinating. Because just a simple thing like that, just knowing, I'm really listening, I'm engaged. And as the scriptures, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Controlling and learning to respond, not react, is a really important thing. But the levels of communication that we do, and we sometimes, communication can be so superficial. Have you found that? You know, like we don't really stop and listen to people. Quite often we say things like, hi, how are you? And we're walking away from them. You know, I'm not even interested in the answer. But if you... Oh, did you snort there? That's excellent. I love it. My messages are never complete unless I have one person snort. I feel really, really... Thank you so much. That's... No, don't. I was... But, you know, like... And I remember, you know, it's amazing. If we stop and listen to people and say... Instead of saying, hi, how are you? But how are you really? And stop and pause, you'll be surprised how many people open up. Just simply asking that question. One of my superpowers is making people cry. So it's one of those things. Because people open up and share the most intimate thoughts and things that are going on simply by saying, how are you? Because if they say they're fine, don't believe them. Because fine stands for freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. All right? So it doesn't work out. So don't accept fine. But I remember I was at a shopping centre once and I went to go and do some work. I liked the din of noise. I was a kids pastor. I liked the noise. And I actually asked God, give me some inspiration that I can use, something that I can observe or look at while I'm preparing this message. And when I started, my computer battery went flat. And I thought, oh, nuts. But then right next to me at the food court was a lady. She was on the phone. And she was obviously upset. And she hung up on the phone, and I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "I'm fine." I said, "You don't look fine." I said, "I'm a really good listener." And for the next 20 minutes, she downloaded everything going on in her world just simply by asking the question. And I think that we need to do that even in the church, but more importantly, we need to do that in our families. So I'm going to give you four little things, and by all means, it's not exhaustive when I said, four levels of communication that you could put into practice right now. And I want you to all get to level three and four and not just stay at level one and two. Because the first one is just the simple superficial, the small talk, you know, who won the football, who, you know, they, just the simple. And we need to do that. Sometimes, there's time and busy, but sometimes it can be so superficial that we never really get to understand what's going on in people's worlds because we stay at this level. The next level is the to-do list, the administrative task. And I know that this is important. We need to do who's picking up the kids and who's going to pick up the shopping and those to-do lists. And I remember one time my wife and I went two separate cars to church. And I left and she left, but we didn't work out who picked up the kids. And so when we drove in the driveway, I said, "Where are the kids?" And she goes, "I thought you had the kids." And I said, no, I didn't have the kids." That's when it's really good to have an administrative conversation. So we had to go back and pick up the kids. And we're still having inner healing counseling for the abandonment issues, but that's another issue. But sometimes we can go on that administrative line, but I think we need to get to the level, because you know when someone says, "Oh, what you been doing? You know, oh, how's life?" And you go straight to, "I've been doing this, 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 this." And sometimes that's important, but sometimes it's like, how are you really going? What's going on in your world? How can I help you? And that's when we get to the level three, which is when we have the challenges. And we can feel like we can share when the things aren't going so well, whether it's financial, medical problems, you know, health issues, just issues that we have. We're dealing with our kids, dealing with our relationships, all those type of things. We should get to that a little bit more and be more vulnerable, be more open, be more transparent. Because I tell you what, right now I can guarantee there'll be people going through some stuff and you have no idea, because especially in the church, we wear our masks really well. We like to keep a happy face, the game face. And yet there's so much going on underneath. But the last one is that level four. This is the one we can actually get the life-giving conversations, the ones that I can know the hopes and dreams. I know what's going on in people's world. I know what my wife's hopes and dreams are, and it's my role to ensure that they are fulfilled. I know what my boys' hopes and dreams are, and it's my job to help navigate and guide them to see they can achieve their God-given gifts and potential. If you don't know what's going on in your family's world, your spouse's world, your kids' world, it's because you haven't got to level four. Our role is to get to that level in a much more meaningful way. And that's even people in the church. Maybe other churches, you know, not this church, but other churches that has this problem, but your church, no worries. So that's really important. Just, to, you know, that might be a little bit of homework. How can we get to that level? How can we start navigating? You don't go straight to that level, because otherwise I'll think you'd been taken over by aliens or something. But, you know, like, get us slowly getting through so you can have these conversations. And when you can feel safe and it's not going to be judged and you're not going to be made to feel inferior when you make mistakes or when you're going through a challenging time, that you're not going to be misquoted or or something that's not going to be blamed and those type of things. And that's when we have a feeling of safety and transparency. And I think we should get to that level in our communication. The fourth area is in this area of commitment. In our day and age, families or relationships, first off, are almost disposable. There's that get out of jail free card. If it doesn't work out, I'll get a divorce. Imagine going in there and that's that parachute right away. Now, I know in a room like this side, there'll be people who have gone through their divorce, and I am so sorry that it has happened. It wasn't what you intended, but when we said, for richer and poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part, we really, are they just meaningful words at the time and then we don't follow it through? I'd love to be able to say, really committed. But when we get married, it's meant to be for a lifetime. It's meant to be. That's especially for those who have got a faith. But yet we know that even in the church, people go through separation and divorce. But we should be committed to one another. In fact, the scriptures say, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above ourselves. It means I'm going to lay down my life to serve you. I'm going to, because God sent his son Jesus to serve us, not to be served. How much more should we live in that life? It's actually saying when you get married, you have to actually identify that you're actually really selfish and you're actually laying down myself so I can actually see that you succeed. And people aren't prepared to know what that means when it comes to marriage. And that's the reason why there's so many people going through heartache and heartbreak, because they said it at the time. And in fact, I saw this quote, and I've taken it and I've put it on the PowerPoint, which is very, just excellent. The definition of commitment says this: staying loyal to what you said you were going to do long after the mood or the emotion that you said it in has left you. I thought that was so good. Because at the time, people go, yes, before my family and friends, I do. But then the emotions fade, life gets in the way, priorities get the better of us, and we don't put the effort and the hard yards that it takes to have a successful marriage. Same thing, I'm going to be committed to my kids and I'm going to be a good parent, but then life gets the better of us and we start drifting away. But yet, and a kid could say, yeah, I'm going to tidy up my room, Mum. At the time, they really meant it. But 5 minutes later, they forgot what they said and they didn't follow it through. So at the time, they were sincere, but that's forgotten. But we need to follow things through. And that's what it means to be committed. And the final one, and again, I'd love to expand this a little bit, is to deal with adversity well. For better or for worse, for richer and poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. I was invited to officiated a funeral. I haven't done many funerals because as a kids pastor, fortunately, I didn't have to do many funerals. So I did my third one just a couple of weeks ago. First one was my grandmother. She was 99. There was hardly anyone in the audience because she didn't have many peers. And that was my first one. The second one I did was a 41-year-old woman, and her kids had grown up in my kids' church, and she died of cancer. And that was 850 people turned up to that funeral. And I thought, this is my first one and I have to do that many. And then I got invited to do another one just recently. A long bout of cancer. And he was 51 years of age, three young boys. And his wife, you know, stayed the course for rich and poor. And she had her fair share of sickness, not much health. But I really admired her. And that's, you know, it's something real about that. There's something encouraging. No matter what what life throws at them, people will stay firm and stay the course. In fact, the Proverbs actually says this: a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for a time of adversity. Those are the things. You're gonna have life that's gonna just rock your boat. There's gonna be terrible times, there's gonna be challenging times, but your family are the ones that are gonna see it through. And it should be. That's the way God wants us to live. But I know that it's difficult when things with financial, there's sickness, injuries, all those type of things. You know, there's a whole multitude of things that can distract us. But, you know, going through when life gets tough, you know, the tough get going. And I really think that as Christians, we're not immune from challenges. We're not immune for dysfunction. We're not immune for conflict, and we're not immune from, you know, troubles and just terrible situations. But yet we can hold on to someone. The Holy Spirit has been sent by God. And it actually says, you know, when he left, you know, like when, you know, do not be anxious over anything, but by your prayers and petitions, make them known before God. And then it goes, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. It doesn't mean that trials and tribulations will go. It just means there's someone to hold on to. In fact, there was this painting and that was created, a competition to who could depict peace the best. And everyone, all these competitions with people, painters all over the world were putting in these lovely landscapes and the sunsets, sunrises and tranquil waters. And they announced the winner, and the picture of the winning painting was a waterfall crashing down. There was black clouds, lightning all around, and everyone's going, "What? That's not peace. That's not peace at all. That's the opposite." But if you looked a little bit closer, in the midst of the waterfall, there was a little mother bird who had created a nest, and she had her chicklings in that. And it was actually just, and it just showed that despite, and it's called Peace in the Midst of Trials. or the midst of a storm, I should say. And that alone, it just showed you, not only was saying, hey, life around you, it's going to rock your boat. It's going to be situations. But she was role modeling to her kids, despite the circumstances around you. It's not the absence of trouble, but it's actually having a sense of peace that passes all of our natural understanding. And I know in a room this size, you'd be people who are going through their fair share of challenges and maybe some dysfunctional aspects, or maybe some areas of these five things that you could put into place. Maybe have you shown appreciation? Are you showing value? Are you taking people who are close to you for granted? Only you could do that. And no, because you can't say, oh, everyone else is doing all these stuff. The only person you can control is the person in the mirror. That's the only one. You can't get people to act and behave the way that you wanted to behave, but you can control you. You can control your words. You can control your attitude. You can control your actions. And all these are active aspects. Maybe are you spending time doing things that only you want to do, or are you spending time with the ones close to you? And have some fun while you're doing, because it actually improves your health and well-being. Are you able to communicate? Are you going to level 4 in your communication? Are you using your words wisely? Are you yelling? Are you screaming? Because you know, when someone yells, it shuts the conversation up. And sometimes when we communicate, is it only one way? You know, you can't just have monologues. It's a dialogue, especially when it comes to our kids. And finally, when we have the, you know, committed, and you're going to serve one another, and finally that area when life gets tough, are you leaving or are you staying the course? And I don't know where you fit in there, and maybe there's one of those things that may resonate within you, and I'd encourage you, look at some of what the scriptures say, and all those that have an application that we can apply to our world. And I hope and trust that even the amount of dysfunctional aspects of your family, and maybe there's some areas that you could, you know, just make a slight adjustment. It's amazing. If you can change your direction by 1 or 2 degrees, you'll end up in a far different place. And maybe this is just a little bit of an adjustment. Like we all do, when we take our car to have it fine-tuned, you know, it actually improves the health and well-being of our car. The same thing is that God is fine-tuning us. How are you going as a husband? How are you going as a wife? How are you going as a mother, as a father? How are you going as a son or a daughter? Only you can answer that question. And I hope and trust that, you know, maybe those little fine adjustments could make a big difference in your family. When you leave today, I wanted to give you a little gift. And this is just I left it on the table out there. And I actually created a little fridge magnet. It's a simple little thing, but it's a little checklist that you can do every day. And if you did these things, I've mentioned a few of them, but this is just, here's called a recipe to focus on your family. The first one, show appreciation. First one. Had a conversation, make sure it's a dialogue, not a monologue. Giving them a hug and kiss. Kids love it when they do the lucky, yucky love stuff. I remember I was in, with my wife, and we're in the kitchen, and I was trying to kiss her, and she was defending herself and things like that. And next thing you know, I see my son videoing us. And then he posts it on social media. And he says, my mum and dad getting hot and heavy in the kitchen. We got a few likes. But he said this at the end of it. He goes, you know, it makes me smile and it makes me happy and it makes me secure knowing that my mum and dad are in love. It role models that type of thing. Hugs and kisses are really important. Needed to say that you're sorry, even if you are at 5% at fault. Own the 5%. Told them that you love them and really mean it. Number 6, prayed for them. It's very hard to hold a grudge when you're praying for another person that you're having animosity towards. And finally, have some fun. Do those things and I hope it will improve the health and well-being. It's a good reminder to do that. Leave it on the fridge and it will remind you, have I shown appreciation? Tick. Have I kissed them? Have I hugged them? Have I told them I love them? Have I had some fun? There's all things that you can do. Let me pray for you. Father God, I just thank you so much for all the families that are represented. And I thank you for the example that you've given us in your word to know how we should do families and how we should do relationships. And I pray just a blessing upon everyone here. Lord, I pray those situations where people have got conflict or have got some situations that are really, really sad and really difficult. Lord, I pray that the peace of God will come upon them, that will pass their own natural understanding to be upon them. And I pray pray that it will be well within their soul as they navigate that. And I pray they have the right people, the right time coming along to support them and encouraging them and getting wise counsel. And Father, let them be more proactive rather than reactive. Let them be able to nip things in the bud before they escalate and get worse. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that as you minister to their hearts and minds, that they'll really be a godly example in their neighborhood, in their community, in their workplace, in the church, and in their families. Lord, you're wanting us to be salt and light. And I pray that healthy families and healthy relationships is such a dire need in our culture today and in our communities. And I pray that the body of Christ will be able to stand up. And we may not have all the answers, but we know the one who does have the answers. And I pray that we will be able to give witness and testimony of the goodness and grace that you've given to each and every one of us and be able to share the good news to others. I pray a blessing upon everyone here in Jesus' most wonderful name. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much for allowing me to share with you. If you want to come and I'll be more than happy to pray for you, or if you've got any issues or some questions and answers, I'm more than happy to answer anything I can do for you. I'm flying. If you happen to listen to Vision Radio, I'm on the breakfast co-host tomorrow from 7 o'clock in the morning, so you have to get up really early. So you might hear me in the morning. I'll say that I went to, you know, Flame Tree Baptist Church yesterday and like that. So a little bit I'll brag upon you as well. All right. So God bless and each and one. Thank you so much.
So good. Thank you so much, Brett. And you've just sown some real life into the house tonight. So we're very appreciative of that. Very simple, practical responses we can have to the dysfunctional life in a fallen world. But it's more common than not. Guys, we want to take up a love offering for Brett and for Focus on the Family before you go tonight. We neglected to do that before, but if you just give us your time just before you take off, we'll take up that offering now. Guys, just pass those buckets. This is going straight to Brett. Guys living by faith through Focus in the Family now, and we want to send him away with a real blessing and ensure the fact that when we invite him to come back again, he'll jump at the opportunity. And sorry. If we can do card too, yeah, because we've got an FPOS we can pull.
Go directly to our website.
Go to the website.
And there's a donate button there. It's all tax deductible as well.
Okay. So you can go straight to the website and donate straight through the website as well. So anyway, guys, thank you for your presence here tonight, too. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for just agreeing with the goodness that God's ministered to us through Brett tonight and showing that through the offering as well tonight, too. So just God bless you and have a wonderful week and have some fun. I like the last one. Make sure you have some fun. Even tonight, God bless you. Thanks.